right, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've given to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is always here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us so that we can open up your Bible and learn from you, operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue on. Remember, during Sundays, we've been studying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times people just get faked out. They don't think they can operate in these things. They don't know if they can. But I want you to not listen to anything anybody's ever told you if they ever said that you can't. Because Jesus said you can. And he trumps anything, any preacher, any theologian. And he even trumps what mama might have said. So just take him for what he said. You know, the operator, you know, if you get a Ford pickup and in the operator's manual, it says that if you put diesel in this pickup and change oil and do all these things you're supposed to do, you should get 17 miles per gallon. But say you go down to the Chevy shop and they tell you to put gas in it. It's not going to perform the way it was designed, is it? But yet, people are always doing things counterproductive to what God told them. You know, just take God at his word. He's right. I promise you. He's right. Okay? So we went through some building blocks, and we're going to pick up another building block. You might say they're building blocks of faith. Now, this is a particular one. You know, that we have these words. We're always saying something. We're always saying something. And unfortunately, what happens is people get into a challenge. And say it could be cancer. It could be poverty. It could be any kind of a challenge that you may have. And what they do is they run around and they talk about their problem. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more insurmountable. When that's just exactly opposite of what Jesus told them to do. Look over here to Mark chapter 11. Verse 23. You know, Kenneth Hagin, he built his ministry on these verses. And what did he preach for something like 50 years? And he said he never got to the bottom of it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus said, Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. That literally in the Greek translation is literally have the God kind of faith. We've studied this out before. We found out that the God kind of faith is that faith that says something. Remember how God operated in the beginning? He said, let there be light. And light is still going on. What he desired is what he said. And what he said is what he desired. So whatever he needed, whatever he wanted to happen, he just said it. Remember, he said, let us make man in our image. And that's what they did. He created man. And then he borrowed one of our ribs and created woman. So if you're single, just believe that you've got a missing rib out there somewhere, and God's going to return it to you. Okay? Okay, now, let's go to this next verse here. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever," circle that word, "whosoever." That's all inclusive. The whosoever, as long as you're born again, you are a whosoever. It says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now, in the Word of Faith circles, it's really easy for people to get preoccupied with their own faith. And they spend all their time concentrating on their own faith. They'll run around and say, "Just believe, just believe, just believe." And so people will get so focused on the believing and so focused on their own faith when they miss the really important thing, what Jesus said. You know, he only mentioned believe once in there. But he said, he was talking about your tongue, literally, what you say three times in there. He put more emphasis on the saying than he did on the believing. Now he knows. He created you. He knows that inside of you, you have the ability to create things out of the supernatural into the natural. You call things that aren't as though they are. See, Abraham is our first example. He's the father of faith. Abraham, before he was Abraham, he was Abram. And God changed his name to Abraham. Now, in the English vernacular, that just sounds pretty simple. He changed his name to Abraham. So what? Now, the meaning of that name is father of many nations. So a long time before he had a kid, God instructed him to start calling himself father of many nations. What did he do? You'll notice that when God wanted to get something done on this earth through a man, he would get control of that man's tongue. He would get control of that man's tongue. Now, there's a lot of religious folks that get mad at me about this. But they say, "Well, I don't cuss, I don't swear, I don't do none of that." I said, "Well, good for you. Good for you. But you're still going against God because every time I talk to you, you're talking about your cancer." What do you mean? So Jesus didn't say, talk about your problem. He said, to talk to it, to talk to your mountain. Talk to that mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea. Tell it to be gone. Now you don't have to go out here and attack Sleeping Lion Mountain. Just leave that alone. You're just wasting your time. God put it right where it needs to be. But you do have challenges. There is challenges. Every one of us have challenges. Take that challenge and on purpose, find out the answer in the Bible. Remember, every time there's something wrong, there's something right. You know, there's something wrong because there is something right. You know, every time that there is a challenge, God has already met it at the cross for you. Jesus met your need at the cross. So when you have a challenge, there's always an anti. So look at that challenge squarely and then go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says about that and make sure it's at the cross. Remember, the cross made all the difference in the world. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, I got it out of the Gospels, that's the New Testament." You know, it didn't start being New Testament until after the cross. And Jesus had to fulfill all righteousness. I mean, he had to preach the law a lot of times. Did you know that? He had to. When he was dealing with the Pharisees and scribes, he would preach the law to them. Because they would come up there with some law that they had tore down to their level that they figured they could keep it. And Jesus would raise the bar back on them and show them that it was impossible for them to keep the law and that they needed a Savior. That's what the law is for, to break a man so they see his need for a Savior. Amen? That's why it just kind of irritates me. People are always having these big fights over the Ten Commandments. We want the Ten Commandments on the courthouse lawn. We want the Ten Commandments on... Take the Ten Commandments down. Find 10 things that Jesus did by grace and put them on that courthouse lawn. You know, Christians in all their wisdom did just the exact opposite of what God did. God took those Ten Commandments and he put them in the Ark of the Covenant, out of the sight of the people. He covered them with the mercy seat so they didn't see their failures no more. Did you know that? Out of the sight of the people. He didn't want them to be sin conscience. So then Christians dug them up, put them on the wall of every church they made, put them on the wall of every courthouse, and have countless court battles about it, and they're still not getting nothing done. Why? The law brings condemnation. Paul said it's a ministry of death. And then the cowboy Christians, they made a cowboy Ten Commandments. That's even better. I'm serious. Put 10 things that Jesus did by grace. Put that up on the wall. Show people what Jesus did for them. Show them how he made them the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Show them how he saved them by grace. Show them how that by his stripes they were healed. Show them what Jesus is. Show them what Jesus did. Amen? And then they'll start talking about things. And Jesus said, you know, I think Jesus had a lot of fun on this earth. You know, I don't think he was just running around with a whip in one hand and a Bible in the other hand. I think he was running around with his creation that he had been separated from for a long, long time. And he desperately wanted to be back in fellowship with them. And he finally got there. And he was showing them how this stuff worked. You know, go up here to, we're in Mark chapter 11. Let's just get this whole story in there. Mark, in verse 15. Well, let's go a little bit further back. Let's go to 12. On the morrow, when they were come to Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when he was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now let's go. This is cool. This is really cool. There's a lot of things in there. You know, Jesus, he was coming along and he cursed that fig tree, and what happened to that fig tree? It died. How many times have you guys heard me curse cancer? That's not an original thought that I came up with. I'm just copycatting the master. He cursed that fig tree and it died. Curse cancer. Curse cancer in the name of Jesus. Tell it to die. Curse poverty in the name of Jesus. Tell it to die. You're going to cuss at something anyway. If you don't believe me, just mash your thumb real good. Some people are more level-headed than I am. I know. But here's the thing. You run into a problem, start talking to that problem. Start talking to that problem. And stop looking at it. See, what happens is people will start talking about that problem and they'll focus on that problem. And they'll focus on that problem. And to make matters worse, somebody will remind them about that problem. And they'll say, what are you going to do about that problem? I don't know, I'll figure something out. Why don't you just shut up? No. Why don't you just tell them, say, I don't know, ask God what he's going to do about that problem. I'm going to line up with the Word of God and just do that. But I need an answer right now. Then ask God. He knows more about it than you do anyway. But Jesus, he cursed that fig tree and he went about his business as a pastor with them. He made a whip and he went in there and cleaned out the temple. It wasn't just because he was mad. But what happened was these guys, they had to go do these sacrifices at the temple every year. These sacrifices, say it was a lamb, it had to be a perfect lamb. This is a type and shadow of Jesus. This was no game. These guys were doing what they were supposed to do. So, but the high priest, these priests that were in these temples would have to examine these lambs to make sure that they were perfect to go to the altar. So if somebody brought in a lamb and the priest said, well, he's not a perfect, he's got a blemish right here, we can't sacrifice that lamb. Well, some of these people had traveled a long ways. You know, Mary had to get on that donkey and she went a long ways to get to where she needed to be. So then the priest would say, well, we got this lamb back here, because they had people that would raise lambs right there. And we got this lamb back here, so what we'll do is we'll buy your lamb and we'll do something with him and we'll sell you this lamb. So they'd buy their lamb for $10 and sell them a new one for $20. Well, what are they going to do? Go home without making their sacrifice? No. So then they'd take that so-called blemished lamb out back. The next guy would come in there with his lamb, and the priest would say, well, this lamb is no good. We'll give you $10, but we got one back here, we'll sell you for 20. They bring the first blemished lamb out and say, here, this one's good to go. That's what was going on. That's what was going on. And they just turned the temple into just a house of corruption. And these were people that were going there out of a good heart, that were doing what they were told to do, doing it to the best of their ability. And these, you might call them pulpiteers, were taking advantage of them. Came unglued at that. So he cleaned the temple. He cleaned the temple. And then they were walking along, and Peter said, hey, that fig tree that you cursed is dead. They had to bring that fig tree to his remembrance. They had to remind him of it. Why? Because what he said is exactly what he wanted to happen. And what happened is exactly what he said. And he did not doubt it. He said what he desired, and he went about his day. See, this is how the prayer of faith works. You say what you desire and get busy about your day. But oftentimes what happens is we'll pray. You know, the doctor said when you get orange toenails, it ain't good. So we'll pray the prayer of faith, and then we'll go about our day, and at sometime at lunchtime we'll look down and say, nope, toenail's still orange. Must not be working. I don't know what I'm going to do. See what happens? That's what happens. If you look down and you see your circumstances, you see your symptom, talk to them. Talk to them. Don't doubt what you prayed. Don't doubt what you said. Talk to them. Say, I'm not going to have orange toenails no more in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do that. It's like, I'm not going to have pain in my knee. I'm not going to have that flu in the name of Jesus. I've already prayed the prayer of faith. I agree that what I said, I received it, I believed it, and I received it, and it's mine. The healing is mine. Amen? See, you got to be hard-headed about this. You may not see the result of it immediately. But you still got to stand in faith and watch over your word. Watch over your prayer. This is a big struggling point. I know I fought this for a long time. You know, pray nothing happened. Well, what's wrong? Well, I don't know, maybe I didn't do it right. I'd do it again. Well, I'd do it. I'd plant good seed in the ground, and then because I didn't see it just spring forth immediately, I go dig it up, plant it again, get frustrated, go dig it up. Why ain't it working? Well, it worked. If I would have just left it alone, watched over my word, washed my mouth. Remember, that's one of the parts of praying is you got to watch. I mean, watch what you say. Don't tear your seed up. You planted the Word of God in there, in your situation, and then stand in faith. How do you do that? Say what the Word says. Amen? Say you get tired of being broke and tired. And you've been running around saying, I'm so broke I can't even pay attention. Well, stop. Stop, because you're really not going to be able to pay attention one of these days, and you're going to really be broke. So you get into a financial disaster, and so you got to talk your way out of it. Amen? Find out what the Bible says. What does the Bible say about finances? It says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be made rich. See, that for you to say that, you have to agree with God that you're already on victory ground. And you're fighting from victory ground. You're not fighting for victory ground. You're no longer under the circumstances. When you say what the Bible says, you're fighting from victory ground. You're not fighting for it. You're just enforcing what Jesus has already given to you. He said that you're more than conquerors. It gets fun when you finally learn, all you got to do is just copycat Jesus. Just follow the directions. Say what he says. He did it. He said, I only do what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see him do. So we do what we see him do. You know, one of the things that's going around, and it's a misconception, is these little bracelets that people are wearing all over the place. They say, what would Jesus do? You know, they need to just take those off and burn those, because that opens it up to all kinds of doctrine, all kinds of theology. Because, you know, what would Jesus do? That's the answer. What did Jesus do? See, for us to do what Jesus did, that's going to force us to go to the Bible and find out what he did. That's the question we should be asking, not what would Jesus do. What did he do? Because then all our ideas slip away. We just go copycat him. Do what he did. Remember, the biggest qualifying verse in the Bible, John chapter 14, verse 12. This is Jesus saying this. If you ever catch yourself wondering or doubting that you can do something, wondering if you can, wondering if you're qualified, or maybe somebody told you you couldn't do this or that in the Bible, go to this verse. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's in red. That was Jesus himself saying it. There is nobody more qualified to tell you something than him. And that's what he said to you. If he said you can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, you can. He said you can cast out devils, you can. He said you can speak in new tongues, you can. Whatever he says in the Bible is yours, is yours. Our job is to sit and receive it. Remember, the very minute you got born again, you got brought into the body of Christ, you've been seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. There's nothing more for you to earn. What we do is learn of him, take his yoke upon us and learn of him and receive the benefits that are in him. The more you learn of him, the more you're going to receive from him. Amen? Get focused on Jesus more than the... See, we get these goals, maybe financial goals, or it might be, you know, whatever kind of goals, might be health goals, might be any kind of different kind of goals we might have. And we'll get focused on that and get frustrated when we're supposed to focus on Jesus and let him bring all that to fruition. Amen? It's already in him, and God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. So the more we learn of him, the more we'll receive of him. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that every time we get your word in our hearts, that it produces for you in your kingdom. This is your seed, and it produces in your kingdom some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold return on your word. When we take it and take your word in our hearts and put it back in the atmosphere, it gives these angels something to work with. And they go out and they cause your word to be performed on our behalf. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.